ideas and illustrations to teach the people of the first century, 2,000 years ago, about the Christian spiritual life. And it tells us, it is still speaking to us that we are running a race individually and collectively. For this race, we need to keep up the good work and practices of faith. And that has to be the rhythm of our lives. And just like the athlete who prepared the game, we need to exercise and have the muscle for our spirituality. And today's sermon, it's very simple. It's very simple forward with one question. Who is on your team? Who do you have on your team? So we had the blessing of the backpack last Sunday, and it was really good, really good. We had about 25 kids and many teachers and school staff, and I was so happy to see many of them. And can you see their smile? Right? It was so precious. It was so much fun. I got wet, and some of our kids, they almost took a shower with balloon, water balloon. And here again, I said, team, education team, they were planning and needing the precious time of blessing our kids and teachers and more. And I talked to them, our kids, you know what? Our Wesley family have your back. Our Wesley family will have you in our prayers and support. And I want to always remember you are loved. And you can reach any of our church members whenever you need to feel it. Because as a community of faith, we are the team together. Again, team. As school starts, many of our students, many kinds of sports, track, basketball, football, and volleyball, and so many others. And let's think about their team in the game. They need coaches, trainers, communication people, and family. All of them play key roles in the game. Just like that, we need a team. We need a team in the race God has put us, and we are running. And if you're not sure who's on your team, I want you to take a pause and look around. Who's on your team? I want you to think about your team, and we need all of us to be somebody else's team. So I Googled TEAM and found an acronym. It says, TEAM stands for Together Everyone Achieves More. Together Everyone Achieves More. This is the picture what I think about whenever I think about the church. And I believe it is the picture Jesus Christ has in mind when he created the church. You know what? We didn't create the church. We didn't invent the church. Sometimes people say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't like the church. I don't like a religious organization, any kind of organized team, institute. Then I may say, well, then you may believe in Jesus, but you need to question if you are following Jesus. Because the church is Jesus' idea. We don't create the church. We are the church Jesus initiates and brought into this body of Jesus Christ. And I believe Jesus knew that. Jesus knew he needed people with him who were part of his team. At first, he had 12 of them to begin with. And later, he added more. And there were 72 of them who were part of his team, Jesus' team, doing the work together alongside him. Then Jesus talked to them, I'm going to send you guys. I'm going to send you to wherever you go to have your team, expand your team, So they went on all over the world to make the disciples. And they organized themselves, which began to be called the church. And we are one of them. So word church in Greek, it is ekklesia. Ekklesia, which means simply people. Church means people who are called out to come alongside one another. So gathering of people in Jesus, that's the church. And this idea of together everyone achieves more, that was really important from the beginning. So that's why Jesus started the church, so that we can do more together as a team. And I may say you are a key player in our team. You are a key player in our team. And I'm a player too in Jesus' team. Nobody wins a game by themselves. We need one another in this team. And you may think about that. You may think there are some games that an individual player is playing, such as running, marathon, or swimming. I've done a couple of times 5K and 10Ks, and I was planning to do a half marathon years ago. But many of you remember that I had an AFib 2 years ago, so at the time I stopped running. And now I'm planning to get back to running. So these days, 1 mile or 2 miles, I'm running a little bit more and more. But anyway, years ago, when I began to run, my wife and I, we were searching for a training schedule. And we met a guy who gave us excellent advice. And his name was John. Oh, that's me. After 10K. And his name was John. He has done marathon 7 times. And what he said was surprising. I thought running was an individual game, but based on what he taught us, it was not. The first word he mentioned was a team for his running. Somebody who gives advice, somebody who takes care of his physical condition, somebody who takes care of his emotional condition, somebody who runs with him. And it turns out running was not an individual game or sport. It was a team sport. My wife and I, we were running together, so I asked him, what are we supposed to do? Tell us, teach us. Then he said, you guys make a team. And there are 3 things you have to remember. And he said, you guys encourage each other, challenge each other, and help each other. When I heard him saying that, I thought, that is exactly what the church is meant to do. That is exactly what it means to be the church. We have people on our team, and we are part of somebody's team that we are encouraging, challenging, and we are helping. So let's talk about that for a few minutes. Encouraging one another. Apostle Paul, he says in the 1 Thessalonians, encourage one another and build each other up. And actually, these kind of words appears throughout the Bible so many times. This is the part of our job. Encouraging one another. Encouraging one another. So encouragement, I like the word. A Greek word for encourage. That is parakaleo. Parakaleo. When Jesus spoke about his death, the last night, he told his disciples in John chapter 14, I'm going to leave you guys. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you parakaleo. God will send you parakaleo. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you an advocate. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you will never be alone. So parakaleo, which means encouragement, that word is Jesus used to describe who the Holy Spirit is. And it originally, it means come alongside. It means the Holy Spirit comes alongside of all of us to encourage us, comfort us, console us, and guide us. And there are more in the Bible. Apostle Paul and many other disciples in the New Testament, they said, you are called to be, not just receive the parakaleo, you are called to be the parakaleo for other people. It is like we are called to come alongside other people, just like the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit inspires us, encourage one another, console, comfort, guide, and cheer on. And this is what we are supposed to do to each other. And that is what Apostle Paul says in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So many studies says we are living in a world. We know we need encouragement. We need to practice that. But many studies says we are living in a world of encouragement deficit. In our culture, we are discouraged a lot. We are discouraged by the time and situation we don't want or expect, especially in this pandemic. We get discouraged by the life of others. We get discouraged. So many challenges. Sometimes your boss discourages you, or people around you discourage you. But one of the things that I learned from many leadership training and a few dozens of books about leadership and living together, the first thing we need to remember is if you want to be a leader, if you want to be a good partner, you should be encouraging people around you more than you think you need to do. Because people, we are hungry to be encouraged. Teachers need it. Students need it. Farmers need it. Doctors need it. All people, we need it. In our spiritual journey, your words and acts of encouraging others, it means more than just a word or act. It is a life-saving ministry in our spiritual race, especially in our time. When you go to a grocery store and talk to the employees over there, you can do a life-saving ministry. When you go to a restaurant and talk to somebody, her name is Vicky, right, at Parkway, right? Men's group often every Saturday morning go to breakfast, and there was an employee over there. I one time joined there, an employee, waitress. She remembered all the menus of our group. So she said, okay, Rory, you are going to have this one. Bruce, you are going to have this one. Steve, you are going to have this one. Okay, young man, what do you want? Me. Whenever we go to a restaurant and talk to somebody who takes our order, we can do a life-saving ministry. When you go to see your friend, when you see your neighbors anytime, you can do a life-saving ministry. It is the way we build up one another everywhere, everywhere. Then let me ask you, who's on your team? Who is encouraging you? Who is cheering you on as you run this race? And there are some other questions. Whose team are you on? Whom are you encouraging? To whom are you saying, hey, you can do this. We can do this together. Come on, we can do this together. We are not just surviving this time in this pandemic. It's really hard. We are not surviving. We are thriving together. So who's on your team? And whose team are you on? the book of Hebrews, it talks about the next thing that we need to remember. It's not just about encouraging one another, but also challenging one another. We hear that in our scripture reading. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. It's really good. We need encouragement, and we need to challenge one another. I think Apostle Paul, what he experienced 2,000 years ago, that is probably what we now experience. Many people love their church and people, but at some point, many people now in this pandemic lose their sense of belonging, and it becomes a habit, and many of us even lost the habit of gathering, encouraging, and challenging one another. So the book of Hebrews, it says, I know some of you fall out of a habit, gathering, encouraging, challenging, and helping, but it's really important. Paul says, you go back to your habit. Because you need a team, because you need each other in your spiritual race. I know I'm preaching to the choir, right? But I'm saying just in case you or people around you need it. Because some of us are struggling with this at some point. It is like flower in your garden. For me, cucumber in my garden. I love cucumber. So I have cucumber, and you know they need a lot of water. When we have rain, we don't have to worry about that. But when we don't have water, I mean rain for a while, you have to go and water them. Otherwise, they will be dry and dead soon. Then how often do you water your soul? Is your face getting dry? We need one another. We need to encourage one another, build up one another, challenge one another for our spiritual journey. And this is what it means to be the church. Church, it is not something we go. We learned that especially in this pandemic. It is who we are. It is something we are. It is something we do. And there is more. There's more. Because God is working in us. And let's think about that. Who's on your team? And whose team are you on? Amen.